Would you stand together this morning for the reading of the word? We've been in this series, All We Need Is Love, and today's message is titled United in Love. And we are reading from the passage of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 and 11 through 16. It says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, O God, that you take the word and you place it deep in our heart, and that you bring forth a harvest of righteousness, peace, and joy. In the precious name of your Son, we ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be reseated. So as I try to bring this series to a close today, I want us to look at this passage. It says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. But to each one of us. Well, if there's a but, then that means we need to look previously, right? So we remember the scripture that we read from last week. The verses say, there's one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, right? But then it says, but to each one, we cumulatively are one through the blood of Jesus. We've been made one through his Holy Spirit, who makes us one in grace. We are one church. We are one body. We are one faith. We have one hope. There is one baptism, one Lord, and we all have one Father who is above all and through all and in us all. But, however, with that being said, here is the truth that you need to know. Each of us individually has been given a measure of grace according to the gift of Christ. Together we are one, but individually we are uniquely different. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "You're special." Now tell them, "I'm special." My mom used to always tell me that I was special. My siblings told me that too, but I don't think they meant it the same way. So, oh, we gotta love them, right? Let's look at this word grace. The word grace in Greek is ekaresi. It means grace. That which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness, favor, the token or proof of grace, benefit, a gift of grace, a benefit, a bounty, thanks for benefit, services, or favors, recompense, reward. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Look at grace again. That which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, goodwill, favor, the token of grace, benefit, a gift. You know, when we talk about grace, we often think of God's gift of salvation. And yes, God gave us salvation. But grace is so much more than that. It is so much greater than just salvation. Yes, we have salvation through Christ. But when I read the definition of grace here, it talks about this experience that brings joy, that brings pleasure, that brings delight, that brings satisfaction. You know, when you are doing what you were called to do, when you are fulfilling the purpose for which you were created, there is a peace, there is a joy, there is a delight, there is pleasure in that. There is satisfaction. We each have a gift. We each have talents that are unique to us. Oftentimes, when we look around, we find ourselves looking at what other people have, what other people can do, what other people are able to walk in, and it's easy for us to become envious of others. You know, they say the grass is always greener on the other side. And so we oftentimes find ourselves looking at what other people are doing or what other people have and wishing for that. Well, if I could just, right? But we each have been given a measure of grace. You know, some people are really good at math. And then there are some people that just aren't, right? There are some people that are really good at vocabulary. And then there are just some people that ain't. ain't a word. Oh, wait, never mind. There are people that have great athletic skills. And they can just go and they can maneuver and they can do amazing feats. And then there are people, they get participation trophies. So we see that there are different gifts. There are different talents. There's people that are really great at music. They can play, that can sing amazing. And then there are those of us that make joyful noises. People that are artists, you know, that do these amazing things. And then there's Picasso. Oh, wait, he was an artist, but I still don't understand anything he did. Each of us has been given a gift of grace. Each of us has been given specific talents and giftings. Some are physical. Some are spiritual. Some are natural skills. Some are learned skills. I'm sure you've heard the statement, you know, or maybe you've said, you know, she is so gifted, or he's just so gifted. Right? Some gifts are very obvious. And then there are gifts that aren't as visible or aren't as seen. This is something we need to know. We each have something that makes us unique. From the way that we reason to the way that we communicate, we are all different. We're all different. And we should appreciate our differences. You've heard me say this. You were created by God on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. You matter. You are important. You have place. You belong. You uniquely fit into God's perfect plan. Don't look down on yourself. Don't think of yourself as less than who God designed for you to be. You're his creation. You are his masterpiece, designed for good works, which God ordained from the beginning. God has given a measure of grace to each of us. It's important to understand this. I can't walk in your grace. You can't walk in my grace. In order for there to be unity and harmony, I must be who God made me to be, and you must be who God made you to be. That's the only way to achieve harmony. If I'm trying to do what you are called to do and you're trying to do what I'm called to do, there's going to be constant conflict. If I'm stepping on your toes and you're stepping on my toes, there's going to be constant conflict. It's when each of us uniquely, as we were created and designed, fulfill the purpose for which we were created, as we walk in the gift, as we walk in the measure of grace that God gave and God ordained from the beginning, there is harmony, there is unity, there is peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 14 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For in one spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether bond or free, and were all made to drink of one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Now here's the first thing I want you to hear and receive. Don't envy one another. Number two, don't despise one another. You know, just as often as we look and we say, man, I wish I was like that person. Man, I wish I could have that. Man, I wish I could do that. Man, I wish. Just as often as we do that, or if not more often, we look at people and we go, man, I sure am glad I'm not like that. I sure am glad that I don't. Don't envy other people, but don't despise others either. The book of Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says it this way. "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." A measure of faith, a measure of grace. We have been given specific abilities, specific talents. Yes, you're special. So is the person sitting next to you. And don't laugh. They really are special. Each of us is unique, designed for God's purpose. Each one of us, say each one of us, is important, and we all need each other. There's something that you add to my life that I need. And there's something that I add to your life that you need. You know, there was a there about two summers ago, my father-in-law had this brilliant idea to call all of the family to come to his ranch. And they have a river, and so we were letting the kids play in the river and enjoy themselves, and the sisters were there, and the kiddos, and my father-in-law gathered all the sons-in-law and his son, and we all went, and he had this deer blind that he wanted to put together. And it was in a box, and it was all just in parts and pieces. And it was one of those where you get the instructions out and it's in a language that nobody understands or knows, you know. And there's all these parts labeled A, B, C, D, and you have the diagram and you have, you know, all of the connections, and this goes here and that goes there. Kind of like IKEA, but worse. So here we are, and of course, you know, in the family there are two engineers. There is a perfectionist. I'm not going to say who that is. There is a very successful, very wise businessman and entrepreneur. And then there's me. And so here we are, and we decide, okay, we're going to go and help. And, you know, I'm not afraid of getting my hands dirty. I roll up my sleeves, and I get right in there, I happen to partner up with the business entrepreneur. You know, we just dove in, let's do this. And, of course, the engineers found the smallest thing that they could figure out for us to do and gave that to us. While they're working on, you know, figuring everything out and looking at diagrams and, you know, meticulously placing all of the different nuts and bolts in exact order the way that it's supposed to be and all of these things and laying things out, okay, that piece and that and checking off, you know, they're doing the inventory, whatever it is. And I didn't have time for any of that. So we just grabbed the pieces that we were supposed to do, and I started grabbing nuts and bolts and screwing everything together, and bam, we were done, and we're just kind of sitting back and just looking. And of course, the one who is the wise businessman, the whole time that we were doing this, he kept saying, you know, maybe we should ask the engineers, you know, maybe we should make sure that, no, it's fine, we got this. So here we are, we get everything done, and we're waiting. I mean, it looked right. It looked right according to the picture. That's the way it was supposed to be. And before I know it, here comes one of the engineers. Where are those bolts this is not the right size of nut. This is not the right size of bolt. It's not the exact length. Where are those? And then all of a sudden they come over to, and we had put together the little armchair. No, this is not the right bolt for this. No, this is not the right nut for this. So ended up me kind of standing off to the side, moral support, and they completely disassembled what we had done and reassembled it with the correct nuts and bolts. I learned a great lesson. Listen to the wise business entrepreneur. But we all have something that we contribute. We all have something that we contribute, right? You know, each of those individuals that were there contributed to the cause. And of course, I'm the glue that everyone gets stuck with, so. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, have you ever heard the expression, or maybe you've said it, this is just my lot in life? Some people think, well, I was just given a life of suffering. I was just given a road filled with sorrow and grief. This is just my lot in life. If you hear nothing else today, I want you to receive this. You have received grace. You have received a gift of grace. You have received a measure of grace according to the gift of Christ. It says here, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to mankind. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness. He liberated those held captive. He crushed the enemy under his feet. He rose victorious on the third day. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he has called us more than conquerors because he won the battle and he has given us the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Grace isn't something that you earned. It isn't based upon works. It's been freely given to you. It is your gift. So live in it. Live in it. Now understand, I get it. Trials and testings, they come our way. They come our way. And they come to all of us. But we understand that to live is Christ, to die is gain. We know in whom we have believed. We know that weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. We know that by his blood we have been redeemed, and we can stand firm in hope, because our assurance is that our deliverance draweth nigh. We belong to Jesus, and nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a praise. We've been given a gift. But some people, they suffer unnecessarily. What are you doing with your gift? Are you living in the grace that God has given you? I want you to think about the story that Jesus told, about the king who took a trip to a country that was far off. Before he left, he gathered his servants together, and he gave each of them talents. We know the story. He gave one 5 talents. He gave another 2. He gave another 1 talent. And he left, and he was gone for a long time. And the one that had 5 talents took those talents, and he put them to work. And it says that he gained 5 more talents. The one that had 2 talents worked in those gifts, worked that gift, and it said he gained 2 more talents. Then there was the one who only received 1 talent. It said he hid it in the ground, did nothing with it. This is after a long time, the king comes back. He calls everybody to come and give account for what they had been given. The one with the 5 talents comes and says, "Master, here, you've given me 5 talents. Look, I've taken that, I've worked it, and I've developed 5 more talents. The king says, "Well done. You've been faithful in the little. You'll receive much." The next one comes, 2 talents, says, "Lord, I've taken the 2 talents, the 2 gifts that you've given me, and I've worked those 2 talents, and I have received 2 more talents. He says, "Well done. Well done. You've been faithful in the little. You will receive much." Then comes the one with 1 talent, said, "Look, I know that you're kind of a hard boss. You're a hard man to please. And you reap where you haven't sown. And so I was kind of afraid to mess it up. It was so perfect just as it was. So I tucked it away. Here's your talent that you gave me." The king said, "Foolish. How foolish. You didn't do anything with what I gave you. So if you're not going to use it, I'm going to give it to somebody else. Give it to the one who had 5 and multiply that into 10. Here's what we need to hear. We each have a starting point. We each have a starting point. But it is up to us to use our gifts to bring honor and glory to God. When we honor Him with our gifts, talents, abilities. He multiplies it in our hands so that we can walk in greater favor and blessing. Be faithful with what he's given you. I promise you, if you will be faithful with what he's given you, it will continue to increase according to the measure of Christ's gift in you. I want to pause right there for just a second. How does that work? You see, each and every one of us needs to understand that God's not going to give us more than we can handle. But the way that our gift increases, the way that we continue to have success in life, is not measured by what we pursue, but by who we pursue. As we pursue him, as we increase in faith, as we increase in strength and maturity, we bear more fruit. We become more fruitful. God's grace continues to pour out over our lives in greater and greater and greater abundance, and the gift expands and grows and blesses. I will say this. I've had the opportunity and the privilege to talk to a few people who have been very successful in business. None of those people that I have talked to talk about strategies for success. None of those people talk about, well, if you do this and you do this and you do that and you do that and you invest here and you take care of that and you do this, then everything's going to work. They don't talk about those things. They talk about how they have personally grown, how they have personally become a better thinker, a person that understands things differently, that sees things differently. And as a result, they have prospered. It's about how we approach life. It's about your perspective. If you want success in life, stop looking at what everybody else has and what everyone else is doing and start thinking about how you can grow in the gift that you've been given, how you can walk in the grace that you have received. I guarantee you that God will multiply that and will allow it to reach many for Christ. Be faithful with what he has given you, and it will continue to increase in accordance to the measure of Christ's gift in you. How do you treat the people around you? Are you letting God's love and grace be expressed through you? Are you continuing to go and grow in grace, or are you constantly envious of others? Do you find yourself wishing for more than what you have? Or do you seek to grow in the gift that you've been given? Listen, just as raw talent without dedicated, disciplined development is useless, so is the measure of grace that God has gifted to you. If you don't dedicate yourself to the discipline of developing your gift, it does you no good. Say amen or ouch. It's the truth. We will never reach our full potential. You will never reach. We will never reach our full potential and fulfill the purpose for which we were created if we refuse to walk, to live, to operate in the measure of grace that God has given to us. So what does that look like? What does that look like? It looks like living in community. Let's read the scripture again. Ephesians 4, 7 through 8, 11 through 16. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to mankind. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's pause right there. Notice it says, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. It doesn't mean everybody falls into one of those five categories. It's not what he's saying. He said there's some that were called for these specific things so that these individuals would be able to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Those individuals are the people that God has placed as overseers of the flock, as overseers of the body of Christ. Those individuals are people that serve in love. But we have to be in community. And the purpose of that service, the purpose of that, I don't just get up here every week to say pretty words. I don't get up here just to talk in front of this congregation or in front of the camera. I don't do that. The purpose of what I am doing is to equip us, the body of Christ, to be connected so that we can do the work of the ministry. It says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Live in community. Allow your gifts, your talents, your abilities, the things that God has placed in you to pour into other people. Allow others to begin to pour into your life. But you have to be in relationship for that. You can't be an island unto yourself. You can't, that's not the way that it works. God has called us to be the body of Christ. As we get into the presence of God, as we come boldly before the throne of grace, His grace is poured out into our lives, enabling us to connect with our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we live in community, in fellowship with God and one another, we become complete and whole. We find place and purpose and fulfillment as we are united in love through the power of the Holy Spirit. Love God, love others, live in community. Let God use you to build up and strengthen others. And let God use others to strengthen and build you up. Will you choose to believe that God can use you to make a difference in others? Can you choose to believe that? Can you believe that God can use you to make a difference in the lives of the people around you? Will you choose to let God use others to make a difference in you? That one's not so easy, right? Community, the body of Christ. Here's the good news. The Holy Spirit makes us one. It's a work of God's Spirit in our lives. It's not something that you and I have to force. It's not something that we have to fight with. The only thing we fight with is ourselves. And what we fight is whether we're going to choose to believe that God has given us a gift. Whether we're going to choose to believe that God has granted each of you a measure of grace. And that that measure of grace is not just for you, but that as you walk in that, the Holy Spirit uses that to pour into other people's lives and uses others to pour into your life. And we become one, the true body of Christ, united in love. I want you to hear this. God wants to do a miraculous work in this city, in our communities, in our lives, in our homes, and throughout the world. He wants to do that. But he needs us, his body, to be a light, to carry his love, to do the work of the ministry. But it takes all of us. I choose to believe that God needs every single one of us. God needs all of you. He needs me, but he needs all of us. It's not about me. It's not about Pastor Stanford. It's not about Pastor Hiram or any of the people serving broadcast, any of these things. It's not about, it's about all of us doing our part. And that's how the world is going to get changed. That's how the world is going to get reached. I want to challenge each of us to begin to pray a simple prayer. I just want you to bow your head and close your eyes. This is the prayer that I want us to pray. Holy Spirit, use me to bless others and help me to receive your blessing through others. Just as I have received your gift, so help me to extend your grace to others, and help me to receive your grace through others. Amen. If you're here this morning, or if you're within the sound of my voice watching online, and you would say, I feel isolated. I feel like I really am out here a lone wolf, and I've been trying to do things my way, and I just am tired. I'm tired of being alone. I'm tired of being isolated and separated. I want you to know that God has a family. It's his big family, and you belong. There is a place for you. He has designed and orchestrated from the very beginning of time for you to be uniquely you and to fit into a community of believers for a greater purpose than just self-gain or self-interest. God has called you to be a part of his kingdom for a greater work to bring joy and peace and love to the world. He wants to use you. He wants to give you purpose. He wants to give you fulfillment. He has prepared a measure of grace for you. But it's up to you to receive it. It's up to you to walk in it. Are you looking for that peace? Are you looking for that satisfaction? Are you looking for that joy? Are you looking for what you do to matter? That can only come through Christ. That satisfaction can only come from Christ. So today, if you're within the sound of my voice, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I would ask, if there's anyone here that would say, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I want to be a part of this family, I want for my life to count and to matter. If you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, into your life, I want to give you that opportunity right now to become a part of the family of God and to begin to make a difference. Let your life count. If that's you, I would ask that you would raise your hand right where you are. No one looking around. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. We're going to say a prayer together. If there's anybody here today that would say that. If you're online and you are raising your hand right now, we're going to pray together right now. And I want you to believe. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you will believe, and as we pray together, you are receiving salvation and you become a part of the family and your life changes. Let's begin to pray right now. Dear Jesus, say this with me. Dear Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I give you my life. I ask that you would take my heart, that you would take my life, and that you would make it matter. Use me to make a difference. I surrender all to you. I ask for you to fill me with your peace, with your love, with your joy. Thank you that you forgive me of my sins. Thank you that you died and rose again. And I receive your grace. I receive your gift of grace. And I choose to walk in it from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.